This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Max Peterson. Max's last time on my show was when I started this show back in March of 2007. Max was on show number 5 with Chris Dorabeck and Bill Gormley. Yeah. Max, welcome back.
Hey, Mark. It's great to be here.
Max is a sales executive. He runs government sales for major organizations, currently, as we say, between gigs, soon to be resolved, and it'll be fun to see where you end up. But give us a little bit of your background.
Well, Mark, first of all, I like to think of myself as a customer bigot as opposed to a sales executive.
There you go.
It's really all about the customer, and it has been for the last 25 years. So, Mark, just most recently, I was running the civilian and intelligence business for Dell. And before that, running the federal business for CDWG and a number of other positions, all focused, though, on government customers and using IT.
Yeah, and back in the dot-bomb era, you actually did a startup gig where you were part owner of a company.
Well, what I like, Mark, is consistently figuring out how do you take the newest technology, right, and put it to work for the federal customer. And so you're talking about when we were building websites like GSA.gov, yeah. FirstGov.gov, USPS.com. That was fun. That was the era of e-government.
Yeah, really. All right. So, and we're this show is going to focus on sales. Good times, bad times, these times.
these times. The reality of these times is that if you don't understand what's happening with your agency and their budget, you're going to be left out in the cold.
Right. So let's start off with a kind of a review of FY11. You were running Dell Civilian and Intel, and I don't want specifics, but generally the market was, shall we say, a little choppy?
A little choppy. So let's see, Mark. You can look back in history and find the worst year for federal budgets in what year? 1995 was the last time there was a year for federal budgets as bad as last year. So last year truly was a new low water mark.
Okay. So 16 years between the ultra low tides. Why was 11?
Well, as you correctly identified, I'm really on the customer and the sales side, so
right.
The political piece is not my forte, but I'll tell you, here's why. Look at the gridlock. You've just gotten to a scenario where we've got gridlock around budgets. It's become a sport to count how many CRs it takes until the government has a budget. And as you and I were talking earlier, how many CRs so far? 3.
And it's December.
December 1st, to be correct.
Man, but what does this do for the contractor community? What does it do to your favorite people, the customers? How does it impact the community?
Sure, we'll take it. You started talking about last year, and let's take a quick look at what last year was. You had CR after CR. It causes the customers to freeze. They don't know how much money they've got to spend. They're concerned and worried about things like the Anti-Deficiency Act. And as a result, they pull back from everything but the most necessary items. And last year, that situation happened until May, when we finally got the mother of all CRs to finally finish FY11. Right?
Not a budget, a CR.
Not a budget, a CR. Which is important because of the market psychology. As important as things like anti-deficiency and those things, the market psychology and the customer psychology is, I don't have money. And if your psychology is, I don't have money, the the way that you feel it in the IT community is reduced spending. And you can roll around and look at any IT company's Q2 and Q3 results.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them will have a call out about their federal market because federal spending was down across the board.
Right. Okay. So here's one for you. Try to envision this. You're driving down a highway in the desert, and you know how the highway keeps getting narrower and narrower the further down you look. Technically, when you have a continuing resolution, you're allowed to spend up to 90% of the previous year. If we do not have a budget for last year, if we do not have a budget for the year before, How narrow does that highway get looking down the road?
Right. How skinny does the highway get? It reminds me of that analogy where if you only take a step one half the distance of the door, you'll never get to the door.
Right.
The reality is you're going to smash full on into the door.
Yeah.
And that's where we are kind of with budgets right now. If you're a glass half full person, then you're actually probably excited in the current fiscal environment that some of the agencies, USDA, Justice, Commerce, NASA, DOT, were actually passed in a minibus bill that gave them a budget. What you're not excited about is that they are funded at $750 million less than they were last year. And if you be the optimist with the glass half full, it looks like they're about ready to pass the DOD Authorization Act. But the glass half empty, probably a $30 billion-ish or so haircut on spending. And all of that translates into a federal IT market that's under pressure.
And agencies that need new technologies. Let's go back to this. We know how it will impact the customer. How does it impact the contractor community?
I'll tell you what, it depends on exactly who you're serving. But, Mark, if you're in the services business, the IT services business, what you see is customers cutting back on contractor positions. They're truly reducing workload that they would formerly have contracted out. So it's impacting the services segment. If you look at the hardware and the software segment of the IT industry, guess what, Mark? This is a news flash. They are closing data centers, right? What are we, 800 down, 2,000 to go?
Yeah.
So if you're providing equipment into data centers, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. But in spite of all those things, the IT companies that are going to succeed are the ones who get to where the government's trying to go faster. You can take a look at the cloud, and as much hype as there is around the cloud, there's a lot of cost savings and efficiency around secure cloud-based solutions. So that one's one, Mark, that I think is poised to be a winner. Why? Because it's going to help the customer save money and be more efficient, right, in a period where budgets are severely constrained.
Indeed. What are we going to have to do here? What are the contractors going to have to do here to shore up that market share they have? I mean, we're going to get into this in some extremely granular detail. I want to talk about resources that salespeople need, the validity of those resources, given the budget environment, et cetera. But overall, give me sort of an overarching, what's it going to take to play and win right now?
The first thing, Mark, is going to take a fierce focus on your customer's mission and their level of funding. You're going to have to be very realistic with your customer about what they can afford and what they can accomplish. Because the companies that are going to be on the short end of the stick here are the ones who hope that there's funding or hope that there's a mission need that's going to be put into practice. So I think that's kind of the first thing, and it's really the first thing all the time, is focus on the customer.
Okay.
The second thing I'd tell you, Mark, is it's going to be the companies that figure out how to help your agency save money. So in the services business, traditionally, it's about how can you add billable capacity, right? That's
right.
How you grow that business. I would argue that the way you're going to have to approach it in the current budget environment is how can I help the customer be more efficient, i.e. save money, take people out, so that you can get other people's work.
Retain your spot by cutting back on your current work with the hopes that other work will fall into place.
And target new work. And in fact, if you can demonstrate that you can do it better, faster, and cheaper, then you're going to be the one who's in line for that new work.
Okay. My guest today is Max Peterson. What's that tagline that you use between you're the customer or what?
Oh, the customer bigot?
Customer bigot. Here we go.
Customer bias.
My guest today is Max Peterson, customer bigot. I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Give the gift of Caps Hockey with a holiday gift pack. Caps holiday gift packs include two tickets to three exciting Caps games, an autographed puck, two Caps hats, and two passes for public skates at the Kepler Capitals Iceplex. There's no better way to celebrate the holidays. For more information on Caps holiday gift packs and to find out how you can win an ultimate Caps holiday experience, call 202-266-CAPS. Text HOLIDAY to 43803 or log on to washingtoncaps.com/holiday.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Here's Alfred Rivera, Director of Computing Services, DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Defense Cloud Computing, sponsored by CA Technologies.
We're going to have a new process in terms of the acquisition and the policy processes. They're going to change the way we do agile development across the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to have in place a technology that allows us to do virtual agile development from development to test to production. We're going to have this coalition of capabilities between our communities that do development.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Okay, you've heard all about how the cloud can support collaboration and save your agency money. That's great. But here's the critical question. Can a cloud be secure? CA Technologies lets you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your systems, including the cloud. So can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems and data? With CA Technologies, you can. Learn how at ca.com/cloud.
Previously on the Fed's telework panel discussion, sponsored by HP and Intel, Danette Campbell, the senior advisor of telework at USPTO, spoke to the current state of telework at USPTO.
Our existing telework program provides us with the ability to continue some everyday business operations during an emergency beyond those that are defined in the COOP plan. And during this February 2010 snowstorm, our Trademark Assistance Center continued to answer public inquiries better, actually, than the average performance for the previous quarter.
Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework in the federal government at fedstelework.com. Read more on telework resources and get connected with Feds Telework on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you missed the Feds Telework panel discussion on Federal News Radio, you can listen on demand at fedstelework.com on the issues directly affecting federal employees and the way they do business. Learn about the future of telework at fedstelework.com. fedstelework.com.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is customer bigot Max Peterson, sales executive from a number of major government players. And again, sometime early in 2012, it's going to be fun to see where you land. But let's talk a little bit, a very quick gloss history of IT. You know, we went from the big iron days to the mini and the mini wars and the VAR wars and the reseller wars, you know, from I remember when desktops were on desktop 1, desktop 2, desktop 3, desktop 4. You know, it was all about pushing hardware.
And that's the problem, Mark, is we all remember all of those wars.
And it's margins. Wars with margins.
Yep.
And the losers of the war. Remember when Sears Business System won part of, I think it was desktop 2, and they folded immediately because they figured out that they underbid the cost of the product.
Yeah, that's a big no-no.
And most people won't even remember that Sears Business System existed. Maybe that's good.
Well, there's a lot of folks that don't exist any longer, and I would tell you with the shift in technology and with the budget situation we're in, there could well be a number of new losers.
Well, there you go. So what... Take us quickly from the old days to what's happening right now in the thorough dynamics of IT.
Sure. Well, so in the old days, agencies bought lots of servers and storage and built lots of data centers. But as you well know, right, these are not the old days. These are the new days. Consolidation is the word. So somebody who's going to be successful in this market has to understand how to help their customer be more efficient. On the desktop, as you were talking about a second ago, we've become used to, you know, the standard desktop being a desktop PC or a notebook PC. Well, I'll tell you what, the standard desktop of the future, and the future is now, is not going to be that notebook PC or that desktop PC. There are going to be a bunch of those still around because they're well-suited to certain tasks. But, Mark, you know, just look right now at what's hot, tablets, smartphones, mobility, security, that's the places where firms can help their customers now. And there's going to be huge opportunity there.
Huge, huge, big. So what's going to happen to the big iron contracts and the big iron contractors?
The big iron contracts and the big iron contractors are going to have to change. It's going to be more about how you help your customer get to either a private cloud architecture, which is all about, again, you know, efficiency and lower cost for your enterprise computing, or how do you help them get to a public cloud infrastructure that's secure and compliant. And those tasks, if you're a services company, right, that's no small job. So there's opportunities from a services perspective. But I think what you're not going to see is you're going to see a de-emphasis on just massive IT applications development, you know, cheeks in seats types of services contracting. Agencies want and customers demand results faster now. They see it as consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if you think of an application, you search for it, and bam, you've got it. Well, that's how federal customers want their IT infrastructure to react. And that's why you see the experiments like the VA with tablets now. And they're paying appropriate attention to security, all right,
mm-hmm.
which is critical in our
right.
market. But it's not stopping them from doing it. And that's the way that you're going to see a lot of these things happen. And there's examples across the board from disaster management and how in the old world we would go out and print up maps, huge books of maps, right? Maps upon maps upon maps. And you'd hand them to the emergency response workers in the field. And they'd immediately take this huge paper volume. They'd move to the area of the city or the county that they were going to cover, and they'd rip out the six pages that mattered. And they'd throw the rest away. Well, now those are being delivered as smartphone apps. And guess what? If the track of the storm changes a little bit, those books you printed were worthless, and you started a cycle to reprint all of those. NGA, as an example, now has a pilot going on where they just update it electronically. You download it back to your Android smartphone, and you're back on the trail, you know, to getting your job done. You're not back in the office ripping six more pages out of a newly printed manual.
Well, you know, the instant gratification thing's kind of neat. When you were at CDW, I was retained to advise on the marketing side for a couple of years, and that was a tremendously fun gig. But on my first trip to Chicago, the head of the government division, Jim Shields.
Shanks.
Shanks, right. Sorry. Mr. Shanks, he designed the warehouse, and it was brand new at the time, and he took me on a personal tour of the warehouse, and, you know, and truly state-of-the-art. I mean, it was so state-of-the-art when I hosted my annual catalog conference in Chicago later that year, they let me take CEOs through the warehouse. But, you know, during the process, he said, this allows us to do same-day shipping. And I said, you know, we have a differentiator here. And he goes, well, nobody cares about that. It's standard in the catalog industry. I said, yeah, it's standard in the catalog industry, but it's not standard in the government marketing, government contracting arena. So with that message driving CDW's entry and your salespeople pushing, the growth curve there was enormous.
Yeah, in a matter of 3 years, we got recognized as the number one federal IT reseller and had the number one, this is how old I am, I guess, had the number one website for federal customer traffic.
Well, it was also a website that was built for both consumer and business, so it had to be user-friendly literally from the get-go. It wasn't built for IT people. It was built for everybody.
Well, and it was a big trend then. It's a more powerful trend now, and it's the consumerization of IT.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the way that we as consumers are using technology, right, what are we doing? We're using, again, as consumers, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of these are big data centers that are operating big cloud-based applications, right? I mean, that's Amazon, all of them, big cloud-based applications, and we're using them as consumers. So when we go to work, we kind of expect IT to work like that. You know, if I can think of it, I ought to be able to get it, and I should be able to get it now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Amazon thing, you know, Bezos knew maybe intuitively that ebooks were going to be huge. Ebooks actually outsell hardcover at this point. So not only did he cater to the ebook market, he built an ebook reader, which is now what, its fourth generation?
Yeah. Yeah, getting good reviews on the Fire.
Yeah. My mother-in-law, who is in her mid-70s, loves her Kindle. And you figure, you know, older people are going to be resistant. Ain't no way. She, you know, every time she comes back from the nursing home that she's in, the assisted living place, you know, she brings her Kindle and her charger to make sure I charge that bad boy up.
Well, yeah, and it's now ubiquitous, right? I mean, you can make specialized devices that, you know, perform really well as e-readers. But it's ubiquitous again. If you want to use your Android phone to read something, there's only about a gazillion different, you know, e-readers you can use for your Android phone, including Kindle. Right? You can download your Kindle Android app. So I think that's just one of those things. Again, when you look at the consumerization trend, now how do you apply it to a market like federal? Well, your federal customers are going to expect basically apps on demand. And the beauty of that is it can be done faster and less expensive. And remember what we said earlier in the show, Mark, about this federal budget problem?
Yeah.
Better, faster, cheaper is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks who get to better, faster, cheaper before the rest of the folks are going to be the long-term winners in the current market.
Okay, yeah, we need some long-term winners in this market, and we'll talk about what it's going to take to be there when we come back. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
People are really getting into the gift buying season now, and if you have a fisherman on your list, you want to check out our November fishing column on page 26 of the November Recreation News. There are lots of ideas and suggestions there for not only products that that are new and different and things that people need who are devoted anglers, but also places to get them.
Are there any holiday presents you can recommend?
Well, sure. Olney Theater over in Olney, Maryland in Montgomery County has had a successful run of The Sound of Music, a traditional holiday favorite theatrical performance that, during the past month or so. You can give this as a gift, though, because the production has been extended into January. Check out our calendar of events on page 45 for this and lots of other ideas of things to do during the holidays.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why United Healthcare Vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend the plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees is from November 14th through December 12th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare Vision this open season.
This holiday season, think about those who have given so much in the name of freedom. The Combat Soldiers Recovery Fund provides financial aid to American soldiers, sailors, and Marines who are recovering from severe wounds in service to our nation. Every dollar goes to military hospitals in the Washington, D.C. area. No overhead, no bureaucracy. Your donation provides immediate funds for the everyday needs of service members facing a long, hard recovery far from home. To donate or to get more information, please visit Combat Soldiers Recovery Fund.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise high with GW Basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wouldn't it be great if you could recapture some of the energy used to light all of those holiday displays? Put your hand on a light bulb and you'll feel that along with light, it produces a lot of wasted heat. Vinayak Dravid of Northwestern University says he can tap some of that. He helped engineer a material that becomes hot on one side and stays cool on the other, then turns that temperature difference into electricity.
Part of the light bulb could be hugged with this thermoelectric materials and then can be fed back into electrical grid.
Dravid says the material's unique chemistry allows electricity generation at 10 to 15% efficiency.
We are continuing to improve it further, but even at the 10 to 15 of waste heat, converting back to useful energy is an absolute paradigm shift.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Max Peterson, self-confessed customer bigot. And that's a good place to start, customer bigotry. Customers need to be aware of what's available out there, regardless of the economic restrictions they find themselves suffering under because of a do-nothing Congress. Not that, I didn't say that out loud, did I?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, we can always take it out.
I think I heard it.
Okay. Well, nobody else did. Nobody else is in the studio, so nobody caught it. People still need to buy things to get their jobs done, and marketing people need to support them. What kind of marketing are you looking for as a sales executive, as a customer bigot in this market? What do you need to drive sales?
Well, I tell you what, Mark, I think the first thing you need is a message that resonates with the customer. And you and I will flip open trade magazines, and we listen on the radio. If you can't tell in the first 10 seconds who they are, what it is they're talking about, and why I ought to listen or look further, then you've missed the boat. And so I think one of the interesting things right now when you look at how we're communicating in the federal market from an IT perspective is we tend to have too much jargon, too much hype, candidly, right? From my perspective, you heard me earlier say I think there's a huge amount of opportunity in cloud computing, a huge amount of opportunity in cloud storage solutions. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the marketing messages, most of them just scratch the surface with platitudes.
They're vapor. Yeah.
They're vapor.
Just like clouds.
Just like clouds. The unfortunate thing is that customers who are going to buy that have to know just a little bit more before they're going to commit their money to it, right?
Right.
So how do you help educate them with just a little bit more? I talk to CIOs, CTOs, agency directors, and the one biggest question I get around it is, hey, Max, help me understand how I get there and where the money savings come from. That's what I want to know, because all the cloud stuff sounds great, but I don't understand how it's really going to save me and my agency money. So I think, Mark, from the marketing perspective, you've got to quickly establish that it's real and that there's a path to savings and a path to implementation. And I think that's where the message is failing today.
Okay. Now, it is failing in several organizations. In a couple organizations, it is not. So let's pick an organization to talk about that's doing this pretty well. We both know Craig Abod over at Carahsoft, and he has built an extraordinary operation that remains lean in general terms, contractor terms, but continues to grow, even in a down economy. Obviously, they do the R word that you like.
Yep, the three R's. They're good at that: relationship, relationship, relationship. But the other thing that they do very well, and I think the best companies in the federal segment do, is that they understand that the message gets out there with media, but then they follow it up. And so Craig and others, they're very good about doing the seminars, the webinars, the white papers, and those are the tools that you use to get your customer to figure out how to make it real for them, because those are the smaller venues where you sit down and you can actually have a real customer conversation. Your ads need to get people in the door. Your ads need to produce results, but the next conversation that you have with that customer needs to be about them, their mission, their agency, and their problem. And the best way to do that is through on-site events, targeted webinars, any kind of a customer-facing venue where you're talking more about the customer's problems and challenges than you're talking about the things that you're trying to sell them.
Right. Do you subscribe to GovEvents by any chance? Do you know GovEvents?
No, I don't know.
Okay. GovEvents. GovEvents.com is an online it's a website with tons and tons of stuff going on in the government market, all events, right? But it's got a twice-a-week email, or maybe it's a daily email. Every week, Carahsoft is among the leaders in how many seminars, webinars they're doing that week. And I went to the Carahsoft website a month or so ago. I'm writing a presentation on using Web 2.0 tools to market stuff. I tried to count the number of webinars in their archives. I lost track at over 700.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of customer conversations and a lot of capability. It's funny, though. Quantity alone is not going to get you there. It has to be quality. And you know, so Mark, in my 25 years, I've attended and I've developed a lot of different types of customer events. The ones that work the best are the ones where you've got somebody who keeps on asking the question, like my customer bigot, why does this matter? Why does it matter to me, the customer? Because a lot of times, again, it doesn't matter what business you're in, but technology seems to be very fraught with this, is we get all excited about the widgets, right?
It's shiny.
It's new. It's faster, whatever it is, right? But we get excited about the widgets. And you see people produce events, and they make the event all about the widget. The event should always be all about the customer. And if you ask yourself, when you're reviewing your event plan, when you're reviewing your speaker topics, when you're reviewing your technical presentations, why should I care? And this is, why should I, as a customer, care? If it answers that message, if it answers the customer's mission needs, then you're on the right track. If all it does is talk about your shiny widget, then your customer's eyes are going to roll back in their heads and you're going to miss the mark.
Okay. Now, the flip side of that equation is how the customer actually buys the stuff. So, you know, it's not transactionally GSA still leads, but dollar-wise, you know, GSA schedules account for, you know, what, 5% of, maybe 8% of total spend.
Well, the interesting thing to me is when you take acquisition and contracting as we know it, you know, IDIQs, GWACs, big agency contracts, doing what? Buying big services, buying big hardware, or buying lots of commodity software and hardware. And now you look at where we're going with things. I'm not even sure we've got the right contract vehicles or the right acquisition policies. So if you look at cloud services, boy, those don't fit very many contract vehicles very well, do they? I mean, you've got GSA who has a couple of cloud contracts that are kind of first toe in the water types of contracts.
Right.
But they still don't anticipate this new world of everything as a service. They're just not structured well to do that. The government doesn't understand well how to contract for it. And so I think we're up for a real challenge there. And on the flip side of things, you know, if the PC on that desktop or the notebook is not the end-all, be-all device, and instead you've got your government users who are demanding tablets and demanding smartphones, well, how do you buy applications on those? Usually by the click from an app store with a quick download.
And a credit card,
or maybe a credit card, but I don't know. When you think about it as a enterprise, is that how you're going to buy them? I don't know. I think there's a huge demand and a huge opportunity for helping government figure out how they're going to buy those.
Could be a smart buy kind of gig, but by the time the smart buy contract kicks in, that app's gone.
Right.
You know, it's three generations down the line.
Right. Exactly. No. So it's you know, there's a huge challenge. It's going to be exciting. The unfortunate thing is we don't have enough experienced contracting officers to be able to handle this kind of new wrinkle. So it's going to be, I would say, probably rough waters for a little while.
My guest today is Max Peterson, and you're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here at 10 o'clock on WFED. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mary Agee, who's president and CEO of Northern Virginia Family Service. She'll tell you all about NVFS and its special needs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Check us out at ofplaw.com.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
As the single largest generator of jobs for the Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin's F-35 represents more than just innovation and freedom. It's an advanced technology program that fuels our nation's economic engine. As a leading-edge fighter, the F-35 has unprecedented capabilities that will help America and its allies defend freedom. And it's creating direct and indirect jobs for over 120,000 Americans and impacting more than 1,300 suppliers in 47 states across the U.S. Software developers in California, steel workers in Pennsylvania, and engineers in Georgia are all working to secure our skies. The F-35 Lightning II program. Securing freedom, securing jobs, securing America's future. To learn more, visit F-35.com.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Want to save money on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other health care needs? Then visit Village Green Apothecary during our big year-end sale now through December 31st. You'll save 35% on our popular Pathway brand nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off natural body care products. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or shop online at myvillagegreen.com. And be sure to catch our top-notch radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, every Sunday at 10 a.m.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Boreon.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Max Peterson, self-confessed customer bigot, sales manager extraordinaire, sales executive extraordinaire. Max, you and I cut some CDs a couple of years back, and it was on the Ultimate Government Sales Program is what it was, four CDs. Or was it three or four? I forget.
I don't know, but today it ought to be an e-reader or a download on my Android phone.
Well, I still listen to it. I don't care. But in there, you reference or you come up with this line, where there's mystery, there's margin. And you're talking about the contracting process, which is really what we were talking about in the last segment. People don't know how to append all of these new things to what's going on. So how does this tie into your sales process when you not only have to educate your own staff, but you probably have to educate the buyer as well.
Sure. Well, Mark, how much mystery do you think there is in a desktop PC?
Anymore?
Yeah. Very little, right?
Right.
But the place where the opportunity is, and as I said, you know, where there's mystery, there's margin, mm-hmm. is when you're helping customers do new things in uncharted waters. And so it starts with making sure that you understand what benefit they are going to get. If your sales force, if your marketing message, if your attitude toward delivering your product or service to mm-hmm. the government doesn't start with what's my customer's benefit, then you're already down the right track. So it can be new, different, mysterious, uncharted waters, but you as the IT contractor, you've got to be clear on what your value prop is. And then what you do is you start by making sure that everybody who's communicating to your customers understands it as well. And that's the education part that you talked about. If they don't understand it to start with, then the message that the customer is going to hear is going to be muddled, and somebody else is going to win because mm-hmm. somebody else will figure out a better way to explain it. And then the final point, I think, Mark, is that you've got to also make sure that you can deliver on the promise. So how many times, you know, have you either individually or in your business life gotten talked to, gotten excited, and then gotten ready to make a purchase decision, and then you find out that they really can't do everything they said they were going to do, or it's a lot more hype, that causes you to do a couple things. I personally write that organization off.
Okay.
You know, I also stop, you know, and so, well, now I'm not sure that I want to move forward. So your sales cycle becomes much longer. So I think that's why it's critical that you make sure you understand what your value prop is and that anybody who's talking to a customer knows how to deliver that message accurately and doesn't over-promise and under-deliver.
Okay. So managing, motivating, educating your client and your customer is really part of your job, Max.
Yeah, it's part, you know, it's part of everybody's jobs. One of the other things, and I don't remember if this was in that CD, you know, case that we did years ago, but one of the other things is in your organization, everybody has to be in sales.
Yep.
And so, you know, you talk to somebody and they say they're in accounts payable. Okay, but you know what? You're also in sales. If you're doing that job trying to produce customer invoices and it doesn't meet customer requirements, not contractually accurate, SKUs are wrong, let me tell you what, you've just created a huge customer sat problem. And while the AP and AR department might not have to deal with it, believe me, your sales team will deal with it. They'll deal with the ticked off customer, you know, because you can't get it right. What's the matter with you people? So in every organization, everybody ought to be in sales.
Yeah, and the first place I ever saw marketing bonuses tied directly to sales goals was when you were running CDW sales.
That was a great setup that we had because it drove alignment. So you wanted to know, how do you motivate people? Motivation's important. I think one of the other things that's important, though, is organizational alignment. Is everybody aligned around getting the job done for the customer? And what we did, Mark, was previously the incentive pay for marketing was tied to a whole bunch of marketing-ish measures.
Clips.
Gross impressions. And I always said, I don't care how many gross impressions I get because mm-hmm. gross impressions mm-hmm. buy nothing. It's the customer that buys something. And so what we did was we said, hey, let's align most of the marketing incentive around attaining the sales goals. The alignment was incredible. You know, all of a sudden, the question was not, hey, how would you like to do a tabletop? Or, hey, how would you like to do this $500,000 conference? The question was, hey, do you think that's going to drive sales?
Yeah. Will the customer be there?
Is the customer going to be there?
And are they in a buying mood?
Is that going to help us get our goals?
Yeah.
The alignment was unbelievable.
Do they have any money? And, you know, this came into play, and I remember this, and you'll remember it probably better than me, because a couple of your marketing people called me immediately when Katrina hit. when you guys were there, you had just rolled out a variety of things around downloadable PDFs that that helped you support FEMA and everybody else, various portions of interior that were down there, and they needed stuff like yesterday.
24/7.
Yeah,
they need. That was the other part of it, was they needed it 24/7. And you talk about motivation and people who want to get the job done for the customer. This came right from the, you know, the grassroots level in the sales organization. They said, hey, I've got a cell phone. I'm willing to help my customer 24/7. And so literally that's what we did. We made the offer up. We said, call us 24/7. You know, we'll be there to support you. One or two calls might have rolled to a voicemail. But more than not, I had customer sales executives taking calls at 8 o'clock at night or 6 in the morning, because
or earlier,
because they had made the promise to the customer, they cared about their customer mission, and they were just driven and motivated by great customer satisfaction and a great customer experience, and FEMA's mission. I mean, that's
right.
If there's one thing about the federal space that anybody should be, you know, excited and motivated about, it is their mission. I mean, after all, it's serving the 300 million citizens of the United States.
Right. So mission is critical.
Mission critical.
Mission is not impossible.
No, mission is far from impossible.
There you go. Give me some final thoughts here. What's it going to take to win in 2012 and beyond?
Well, so first thing is you better understand your customer's budget environment. And again, not just as a platitude, but in practical means. Where does the customer have money? Where are their spending priorities going to be? And how can you help them save money? So Mark, we talked earlier about how DOD might take a $30 billion haircut, how a couple of civilian agencies took a $3/4 billion haircut. That translates down into every customer is going to have programs under pressure. It's the old, hey, how am I going to do more with less?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can understand which programs are critical to your customers, understand if they've got funding problems or challenges, and then go figure out how to help them save some money, you're going to get more dividends back, because they're going to look to you as the solution provider, as the IT contractor who can help them save money on 10 other programs.
CYA. And save them bucks.
Save them money, yeah. Better, faster, cheaper. And then the other part of it is, I would tell you, you've got to think about what the new solution is, right? So everybody who tries to redo the past in terms of data centers, in terms of PCs, in terms of even software, right? You've got to get in your mind the notion that we're headed toward everything as a service. Everything is a service. So if I'm a licensed software manufacturer, I sure better have a portfolio of software as a service solutions. If I'm a hardware provider, I better have a portfolio of infrastructure as a service solutions, so that if they don't want to buy that server and stick it in a data center, I can give them an option to have server capability, you know, by flipping a switch and contracting for it. And then turning it back off again. A little bit of scary thought, right?
Yeah.
You can turn that back off again. But if I don't have an offering, somebody else will. So the two things are, know your customer's budget, figure out how to save money to help them with their budget problem, and then think about your business in this new everything-as-a-service world. If you don't have a companion service offering to your IT product or software or hardware, you're going to be behind.
There you go. My guest today has been Max Peterson. Max, always a pleasure. Looking forward to see where you land. Thanks for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AMs. The shows are archived at federalnewsradio.com, so go and listen to all of them. This is not my day job. If you need to maximize your presence on LinkedIn, you or your company, give me a shout. You can find me all over LinkedIn or at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.